treaty feasibility and cost analysis. Previous treaties failed because they ran on guilt. Guilt has terrible fuel efficiency. This one runs on greed, which is, regrettably, humanity's only reliable fuel source.
Getting 195 countries to agree costs billions and takes forever. No, getting countries to implement things costs billions. Getting them to sign papers is surprisingly cheap. Your entire diplomatic system runs on the principle that writing your name on a document feels like accomplishing something. It doesn't, but it's affordable. What treaties actually cost? NGO campaign budgets are rarely disclosed publicly, but treaty campaigns run on pocket change compared to the thing they create. The Ottawa Treaty banning landmines took 14 months. One staff member, Jody Williams, grew a coalition to over 1,000 organizations across 60 countries. 122 states signed. She won the Nobel Peace Prize. One woman with a phone convinced 122 countries to stop burying explosives in the ground where children walk. Your species is capable of remarkable things when one person gets sufficiently annoyed. The Cluster Munitions Convention took about 2 years. Seven governments and a coalition of NGOs got 94 states to sign. The Arms Trade Treaty took a decade, but started with three supporting governments. The Control Arms Coalition published more than 50 reports until 130 countries signed. The Nuclear Ban Treaty also took a decade. The International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, or ICAN, ran the entire operation with five staff in a Geneva office. 122 states voted yes. Another Nobel Prize. Five people in a Geneva office won a Nobel Prize. You have more people in your accounting department. Pattern. Total, to get a treaty signed, $15 to $50 million. Your species spends more than that on Super Bowl ads for beer, the thing that makes you temporarily stupider. You will pay more to sell stupidity beverages during one sporting event than it costs to get 122 countries to agree on anything. Inflation adjusted to 2024 dollars. Using Bureau of Labor Statistics, or BLS, Consumer Price Index, or CPI, data, for the Ottawa Treaty in 1997, the original cost estimate was $15 to $25 million, which is $30 to $50 million in 2024, an inflation multiplier of about 2.0 times. The Cluster Munitions Convention in 2008 cost $15 to $25 million, or $23 to $38 million today, a multiplier of roughly 1.5 times. The Arms Trade Treaty in 2013 cost $20 to $30 million, or $27 to $41 million today, a multiplier of roughly 1.35 times. The Nuclear Ban Treaty in 2017 cost $10 to $20 million, or $13 to $25 million today, a multiplier of roughly 1.25 times. In today's money, treaty campaigns cost roughly $25 to $50 million, 2024 USD. Banning landmines? About $40 million to get the signatures, more than $5 billion to actually dig them up. The paperwork is always the cheap part. The expensive part is doing the thing you wrote on the paperwork. Your species often skips this part. Cost for a 1% health treaty. This one touches military budgets. Suggest moving 1% of the explosion money, and politicians look at you like you've asked to borrow their favorite child. The reaction is disproportionate to the request, but proportionate to the lobbying dollars behind the status quo. So budget 3 to 4 times what landmines cost. Phase 1, pre-negotiations, covering coalition building and expert drafts, takes 18 to 24 months and costs $8 to $12 million, funded by philanthropy like Gates or Open Philanthropy and champion governments. Phase 2 is the global campaign for the platform, 3.5% consent, and media, lasting 3 to 5 years at a cost of $45 to $80 million, funded by philanthropy and crowdfunding. Phase 3, the diplomatic process for conferences and delegate travel, takes 18 to 30 months and costs $15 to $25 million, funded by host governments and the UN Trust Fund. Phase 4 is the ratification drive for legal reviews and parliamentary aid, taking 2 to 4 years at a cost of $5 to $8 million, funded by philanthropy. Phase 5 is ongoing contingency and opposition management, costing $10 to $15 million through strategic communications and lobbying. Total, $83 to $140 million. The math. Signing the treaty costs around $83 million. What the treaty unlocks is $27.2 billion per year, forever. That's over a 300-to-1 return on paperwork. Your best-performing stocks don't do that. This isn't a stock, it's a treaty. But the return is real, which is more than most stocks can say. How to make governments sign things. Politicians move when they see voters demanding it and political cover to do it. Give them both. First, prove public demand. Get 3.5% of the population, 280 million people, to say yes with a verified identity. Every nonviolent campaign with 3.5% plus participation has succeeded. That's not activism. That's a mandate. Second, prove it's safe. Peer-reviewed modeling showing every nation gains more in health savings than it loses in military spending. Politicians need cover the way vampires need darkness. Give them the numbers, and they'll pretend it was their idea, the second most reliable pattern in your political history, after blaming the previous administration. Timeline 2, governments can't ignore this. With around $60 million in seed funding, you can reach treaty-ready status in 2 to 3 years, a platform with 280 million verified supporters, the 3.5% threshold, country-by-country impact modeling, and a coalition of 120-plus supportive NGOs and 5 to 10 champion governments. Once these assets exist, formal negotiations become very hard to avoid. Not because politicians want them, because ignoring 280 million people is the kind of career decision that leads to spending more time with family. You aren't buying a treaty. You're buying the machinery that makes the treaty very hard to refuse. Political success probability, economic analysis. This section documents the rationale for the 1% central estimate and a 25% optimistic scenario ceiling. The model assumes a 99% chance of failure. It's still a good bet. On Wishonia, we would not invest in something with a 99% chance of failure. On Earth, this is called venture capital, and your richest humans do it professionally. Even at 1% probability of success, this intervention's expected cost per disability adjusted life year, or DALY, $0.177, is still 503 times more cost effective than malaria bed nets, $89 per DALY. Bed nets are the gold standard of global health interventions. This beats the gold standard while assuming it will almost certainly fail. The math doesn't care about your pessimism. The political success probability point estimate is 1%, with a range between 0.1% and 10%. The expected cost per DALY is $0.177, with a range between $0.029 and $3.20. The cost effectiveness versus bed nets is 503 times, with a range between 30 times and 3,000 times. The bed net cost per DALY is $89, with a range between $78 and $100. Historical precedents, the depressing table. The 0.7% official development assistance, or ODA, target aimed for 0.7% of gross national income, or GNI, to foreign aid. It was achieved by about 20% of countries over 50 plus years, primarily Scandinavia and Germany. The Kyoto Protocol set binding emissions targets. It saw about 55% compliance initially, before collapsing between 1997 and 2012, as the U.S. never ratified and Canada withdrew. The Paris Agreement involves non-binding pledges. About 15 to 25% are on track since 2015, where of the 195 countries that signed, maybe 40 meant it. The gym membership analogy is overused but accurate. Purchased with enthusiasm in January, abandoned by February, cited in arguments about personal growth throughout March. Why a 1% treaty is harder than most precedents. Let's be honest about the obstacles. This is not a chapter written by someone trying to sell you something. It is, but at least it's honest about the hard parts. It touches military budgets, and politicians would rather discuss their browser history than their defense budget. It requires ongoing annual allocation, not a one-time signature, which makes it a gym membership for peace. Monthly, forever, no quitting. There's no immediate security threat driving it. 150,000 deaths per day apparently doesn't qualify as a catastrophe because the deaths are distributed, quiet, and polite, and your species only responds to deaths that are concentrated, loud, and rude. The mechanism is novel, and humans are suspicious of things they haven't tried before. Odd for a species that invented bungee jumping. And nobody wants to sign first. Everybody wants to sign second. This is a fine strategy for a Congo line. Why a 1% treaty might beat the odds. It's self-funding. The health dividends exceed the cost, so you make money by doing the right thing, which is the only way your species does the right thing. Should we cure more diseases? Polls well across every political spectrum, alongside is water wet and should we pay Congress less? It has a referendum pathway that bypasses government resistance. Politicians hate this, which is how you know it works. It has visible beneficiaries, 150,000 deaths per day, and each signing country makes the next more likely because peer pressure is humanity's most reliable technology and the reason your teenagers wear the same shoes. Probability estimates. Economists would find the following defensible, and economists find very little defensible, which is their brand. Pessimistic floor, 0.1% probability. Translation, everything goes wrong. Global crises, political gridlock, asteroid possibly. Conservative central, 1% probability. Translation, 99% chance of failure. Still 503 times better than bed nets. Optimistic ceiling, 25% probability. Translation, a major crisis opens a political window, or humans just decide to be smart for once. The model uses central estimate, 1%. Expected value, even when you assume failure. At 1% probability of success, expected ROI is 848,000 to 1, still positive, even assuming near certain failure, and expected cost per disability adjusted life years, or DALYs, is $0.177, which is 503 times better than bed nets at $89 per DALY. Downside? Capped at approximately $1 billion. You lose the cost of a nice yacht. Upside? Unbounded. You cure most diseases. Even assuming a 99% chance of total failure, this beats the gold standard of global health interventions. The downside is a yacht. The upside is the end of most disease. Your species makes worse bets every day in Las Vegas, except there the upside is a slightly larger pile of papers. The yacht will be fine. It was going to depreciate anyway. Why the treaty won't stop at 1%? Most international commitments stagnate after signing. You saw the depressing table, 0.7% official development assistance, or ODA, targets unmet for 50 plus years. Kyoto abandoned, Paris missed. Your track record with follow-through makes goldfish look disciplined. So why would a 1% health treaty be any different? Because this time, people get paid. The 80-10-10 funding structure allocates 10% of treaty funding, $2.72 billion per year at 1%, to incentive alignment bonds. These are securities that pay out when treaties expand, not just maintain. People get rich when more diseases get cured. It only took your species 400 years of financial instruments to produce one that doesn't require someone to suffer. Progress. The expansion mechanism.
At a 1% level, the annual incentive alignment bond, or IAB pool, is $2.72 billion per year. Political pressure is strong, and this is 10 times the size of the largest NGO budgets. At a 2% level, the annual IAB pool is $5.44 billion per year. Political pressure is very strong, reaching the nation-state level. At a 5% level, the annual IAB pool is $13.6 billion per year. Political pressure is overwhelming, comparable to a major industry lobby. At a 10% level, the annual IAB pool is $27.2 billion per year. Political pressure is probably irresistible, with no historical precedent. Why this differs from every other treaty? 0.7% official development assistance, or ODA, failed because nobody made money when countries complied. The NGOs pushing for compliance run on guilt. Guilt has terrible fuel efficiency. Guilt gets you to the gym in January. Greed gets you there in July. Guilt volunteers at the soup kitchen once. Greed builds the soup kitchen and names it after itself. This treaty runs on greed. The 1% health treaty creates its own expansion lobby. Bondholders profit when the treaty expands to 2%, then 5%, then 10%. These aren't activists you can ignore at a dinner party. They're investors with quarterly earnings calls about curing diseases. They have Bloomberg terminals. They have lobbyists. They have the same tools that weapons manufacturers currently use to expand military budgets, except pointed in the opposite direction. The ratchet effect. Once 1% passes, $2.72 billion per year flows to IAB holders pushing for 2%. When 2% passes, $5.44 billion pushes for 5%. The engine runs on compound greed, which is like compound interest, but for not dying. The politicians feel it too. The treaty's 10% political incentive allocation scales identically. At 1%, it's $2.72 billion per year in campaign support for legislators who voted yes. At 5%, five times that. A politician who votes to expand the treaty is voting to expand their own re-election budget. You didn't change what politicians are, you changed what they're rewarded for. Most treaties are gym memberships purchased in January and abandoned by February. This one has a constituency that grows with each success. On Wishonia, we find this arrangement embarrassing. On Earth, it's the only arrangement that works. Long-term feasibility. With IABs, the 10% allocation creates a perpetual political engine, a machine that runs on greed and outputs health. Embarrassing, but effective. The most effective things your species has ever built have all been embarrassing. The internet was built for sharing research papers and is used for arguing with strangers. Democracy was built for collective wisdom and is used for electing celebrities. This machine is built for curing disease and is powered by selfishness. The pattern holds. Without IABs, this joins Kyoto in the Museum of Things Humanity promised to do and then didn't. The museum is very large. It has a gift shop. The gift shop sells promises.